Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ken Hetty speaking. The attention of the United States is focused on the heart of America tonight, for here at Kansas City, Missouri, in the Municipal Auditorium, are gathered an imposing array of the nation's most distinguished citizens. Heading this impressive parade of nationally important people is the President of the United States, Harry S. Truman. All assembled here to honor the native Kansas Cityan, recently selected as chairman of the Democratic National Committee, William M. Boyle, Jr. This event, which at its conception was planned as a local public recognition of a local man who had made good, this event ballooned into a spectacular affair, occasioning international interest and significance. Casey Amo's microphones for the next 2 hours will bring you a complete and uninterrupted account of the features on tonight's impressive program, including an informal address by the President, one by Mr. Boyle and by Vice President Alvin Barkley, by Mayor William E. Kemp of Kansas City, Governor Forrest Smith of Missouri, J. Guy Robertson, and Leo Swartz. The Municipal Auditorium is filled with almost 8,000 gay-spirited, intensely interested mid-Americans tonight, along with many out-of-town and out-of-state visitors and dignitaries. Brilliant decorations of flags and colorful buntings add to the friendly atmosphere and warmth. I'm speaking to you from immediately in front of the speaker's table here on the floor of the auditorium at its south end. This entire huge floor has been the scene of a dinner of tremendous size and scope. Almost 3,000 men and women, and perhaps over that amount, have been served here tonight in what is a most commendable culinary accomplishment. It's an immediate reminder of Army days when the word logistics was so vitally important, the feeding and servicing of millions of troops. Here tonight, hundreds upon hundreds have feasted, and the preparation and presentation of the meal was an admirable feat, worthy of unreserved praise from all of us. Now, time permitting, a word about the menu in a few minutes before the actual program gets underway. The speaker's table, directly in front of me, at which are seated the President, Mr. Boyle, and the other 14 guests of honor, is beautifully decorated. The table and the platform is elevated to a height of approximately 4 feet above the floor of the auditorium and extends practically the entire width of the south end of the auditorium. 4 giant silver candelabras are symmetrically spaced across the table, adding beauty to it, and is further adorned with artistically arranged floral bouquets of red oak leaves and giant yellow chrysanthemums. And their vivid colors are accentuated by the light background of the white tablecloths. Rising above and behind the speaker's table is the orchestra stand, and it too is adorned with the oak leaf yellow chrysanthemum combination. And above and beyond this, at the top of the south balcony, is a giant photograph of the man being acclaimed here tonight, William Boyle, Jr. This event is being broadcast, in part at least, by all of Kansas City's radio stations, and is being televised in a history-making accomplishment by WDAF-TV. And it's hats off to WDAF-TV for a splendid achievement, a history-making thing, the first public event televised in the Kansas City area. Literally dozens of newspaper reporters and photographers are on hand. Newsreel cameramen are present, recording every detail of the activities for Paramount, MGM, Pathé, and also Howdy Williams is here making film for NBC television. It was interesting to note when the President arrived, and the Vice President had already arrived, as had Mr. Boyle, the three got together at the speaker's table in front of the rostrum, the speaker's rostrum, and were most cooperative as usual with all the newsmen and photographers, posing for moments upon end, doing exactly what the photographers asked. 7 microphones are situated immediately in front of the speaker's rostrum, and at least a dozen more are placed about the auditorium at advantageous points to amplify the many diversified entertaining musical features presented as the guests were dining. There are 105 Kansas City policemen on duty here at the Municipal Auditorium, along with 55 sheriff's deputies. 40 firemen are stationed here as a precautionary measure. And of course, there are the unnumbered Secret Service men present to guard the safety and welfare of the President. Yep, Washington has moved to Kansas City tonight to make this one of our most memorable nights in our history. Most of the members of President Truman's cabinet are here, as are many members of the judicial and legislative branches of our government. I'd like you to meet now an ABC radio personality, Bryson Rash, presidential reporter for the American Broadcasting Company. Bryson Rash flew from Washington today with the presidential party, and I'm going to ask him to describe that trip and the activities he's observed since his arrival here in the heart of America, and also, if he will, to name some of the dignitaries present here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Bryson Rash.
Thank you very much. Some of my friends of the press, notably Wynn Booth of Time Magazine, is sitting at the next table, and a loud hooray went up from him, but I assure you it's simply an attempt to intimidate, or rather to heckle. Ask about the trip today. We came from Washington into St. Louis, Missouri yesterday evening, as a matter of fact. We took off from Washington. The weather was not too bad in Washington. We got up about 10 minutes and ran into a nice, good first-class cold front that bounced us around just a little bit, but not too bad. Within a few minutes, we were out, arrived in St. Louis without any difficulty, waited for the arrival of the president, then to the hotel in St. Louis, where the president greeted a number of friends in his suite, a number of outstanding Missouri citizens, and then retired for the evening. He was up early this morning for his walk, and then he had breakfast around 7:30 with a group of his friends in the Masonic Order in Missouri, and then he later went to the installation of the new top man of the Masonic, of the Shrine Group in the state of Missouri. The president is fit. He has stood a quite rigorous day without any attempt, without any apparent difficulty, without any apparent loss of vigor or enthusiasm or interest. The moment he's sitting at his speaker's table and listening to a comment from someone here on the floor about 20 feet from him, he cupped one hand over his ear to properly get it. Directly to the right of the president is the new chairman of the Democratic National Committee, the man in whose honor this gigantic dinner here tonight is being given, Mr. William Boyle of Kansas City. Also at the speaker's table is the Vice President of the United States, the Honorable Alvin Barkley, and also the Vice President's daughter and his official hostess in Washington, Mrs. Truett. This is really an immense dinner. It's really an immense gathering. There is very seldom that I have seen a dinner where some 3,000 people have sat down and enjoyed a dinner, and it was excellent. It's an immense accomplishment, really, to serve 3,000 people a dinner. Right at the present moment, incidentally, the vice president has come over and is leaning over the president's shoulder, chatting with him amiably. A few moments ago, he told him a very wonderful story, apparently, because everybody at the head table, Bill Boyle, the president, and the Veep, burst out with laughter. In addition to the announced official members of the president's party, we have seen here this evening Bob Hannigan. We've seen Jake Arvey of Chicago. We've even seen Ed Kelly of Chicago. And Secretary of the Air, I. Symington, the Attorney General, Howard McGrath, the Postmaster General, Jesse Donaldson, the Secretary of Labor, Mr. Tobin. We've also seen the head of the Women's Bureau, the Women's Division of the Democratic National Committee, Mrs. India Edwards. And incidentally, sitting directly across from me at this particular table where your KCMO broadcast is originating is Mr. Jack Redding, who is the top man of publicity for the Democratic National Committee. Quite a gentleman. He told me a little while ago he was a Brigadier General in the United States Reserve Forces, that is the Air Forces. One of the interesting little sidelights tonight, in fact, the president, of course, must, as the president of the United States, bring with him a number of military aides, an aide for the Army, an aide for the Navy, and an aide for the Air Force, in addition, his own personal physician. These gentlemen are usually bedecked in well-tailored, immaculate uniforms. Tonight, they're all in mufti. They're all in civilian clothes, and it's not quite so impressive, but still, they're grand men, and they are here at this dinner tonight. Incidentally, one of the great men of the Democratic Party, too, Oscar Chapman, the Undersecretary of the Interior, sitting at one of the tables just to our right, a grand man from Colorado. Matt Connolly, the President's Secretary, just walking down the aisle. There's quite a turmoil in the aisle here in front of us, but it'll subside, I suppose, when the speeches start in just a very few minutes. The President's entire secretariat is here. Matt Connolly, the Senior Secretary, the Press Secretary, Charles G. Ross, and his third secretary, the Deacon, William Hassett, a grand gentleman who was also a secretary to the late Franklin D. Roosevelt. Oh, Mrs. Georgia Clark, the treasurer of the United States, a gentlewoman from Kansas, is also here at this dinner this evening. To get back to the generals, General Landry is in civilian clothes, as is General Harry H. Vaughan, General Wallace Graham, the president's personal physician, and Admiral Robert Dennison, his naval aide. Several of the lovely hostesses who worked so hard this evening to make this a pleasant and enjoyable dinner are seated at our table now, too. Incidentally, the Secret Service is out in force, and directly to my right is the head of the White House Secret Service, Jim Rowley. Quite a boy from New York is Jim Rowley. He's in complete control and complete charge of security for the President of the United States. A very tough job, a very difficult job, one that is done extremely well. A lot of color here tonight. The immense auditorium in Kansas City is almost completely filled now. The vast arc of seats in the balcony and in the upper tier almost completely filled, and the speeches have not yet started. A number, of course, of the outstanding men of the press of the nation are here. You look down these long press tables, it's Eddie Fogg of the Washington Post, and Carl Levin of the New York Herald Tribune, Tony Lavero of the New York Times, many others, Wynn Booth of Time Magazine. There's Ed Pauley, the gentleman from California. Ed Pauley standing out in the aisle directly in front of the presidential seat. And beside him is Phil Regan, the singer, who in just a few moments will entertain us, I understand, with a few very choice Irish songs. Incidentally, Phil Regan is the gentleman who at the inauguration of President Truman in January of 1949 sang the Star Spangled Banner. A great honor, as Phil Regan told me later. There's the president's counsel standing now, Clark Clifford, a gentleman from Missouri, from St. Louis, as a matter of fact. That's about it at the moment. Do you have anything to add to this? Go ahead.
All right. Bryson, it might be interesting for our listeners to know some of the details of the catering that went on to make this dinner a success tonight. The catering was handled by the Muehlbach Hotel, and T.O. Davenport was in charge. Over 3,000 steaks were served, and they were served hot, and we can attest to that. They were delicious steaks. 210 cattle were slaughtered to provide those steaks. Over 6,000 cups of hot coffee, really hot coffee, was served. That required a crew of 500 people. And the preparations have been being made for this occasion for 3 weeks to handle this tremendous dinner here tonight. On the menu was cantaloupe filled with fruit salad, tenderloin steak, a brown potato, new string beans with bacon, lettuce and tomato salad with cheese dressing, a biscuit tortoni, cake, and coffee. The orchestra that you've heard in the background is directed by Dr. Andy Robertus. And other musical features here this evening, I will tell you about those in just a moment. Now, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, and the entire audience is standing to sing.
Yeah.
gentlemen, before the speeches begin, I would like to have you meet one of the musical stars who is here this evening, Phil Regan.
Hello, how are you? It's awfully nice to be here. Isn't this a wonderful dinner?
It certainly is. Are you enjoying yourself,
Phil? I've never seen so many people come out to honor one man as here tonight.
Phil, I'm sorry we'll have to interrupt this because we have to go to the speaker's
room. There are over 8,000 people here.
Yes, indeed. It is a wonderful thing.
Nice coming up.
Thank you very much, Phil Regan. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we take you to the speaker's rostrum where you will hear the Honorable Leo T. Swartz, Chairman of the Jackson County... Chairman here tonight.
Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, Mr. Boyle, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, it is unusual when the President of the United States and the Chairman of the Majority Party come from the same state, and it is extremely rare when both come from the same county. Jackson County, Missouri, is doubly proud tonight.